You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom Jones, and it is time to wake up. And just wanted to say I'm a little nervous today. I think I'm on hour, Danny, from 9 to 10, so a little nervous. So I appreciate your prayers, and I thank you, sweetheart, for praying for me. I just got through texting my wife to say I just thank you for praying, because prayers do work. You know, they do work. And, you know, the word says the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much, not little, but much. And we need to be in much prayer. Even though the government shut down, you know, God isn't. God doesn't shut down. He's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call upon him. His word, the scriptures tell us, call upon me, and I will show you great mighty things that you know us not of. And if we draw near to him, he said he would draw near to us. That's assurance that we all have, that if we draw near to him, he said, I'll draw near to you. In America right now, I tell you what, we really need Jesus. We need an outbreak of a revival in our land like we've never seen before, that Jesus would fall and come back here to America and visit us once again. Not that he's left, but sometimes I think we've thrown him out of things. And Jesus is a gentleman. If you throw him out, he'll depart. And I just ask that he comes back into our school systems, our government, that we learn to get along together. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, that we all have to learn to get along. You know, you may not agree with me all the time, and I might not agree with you, but you know, we've got to get along, and that's okay. If you disagree with a brother or you disagree with a sister, you know, do it in love when you speak. You know, speak in love, and don't let anger arise. Don't let your flesh rise up. As Paul said in the scriptures that, you know, our flesh, believe it or not, must decrease every day. And that's why we go to Jesus and say, Lord, help me on this walk that I'm walking every single day. You know, you woke me up and let me be a blessing. You know, I was talking to a doctor's office the other day and making an appointment, and I have to have a test run. But anyway, the lady said that you're one of the most very kind. But isn't that how we're supposed to be? You know, we're not supposed to be yelling at one another and hot-tempered, and, you know, because the fruit of the Spirit's joy, patience, love, mercy, compassion, gentleness, meekness, kindness. You know, if people don't go to church, you know, the only Jesus they're going to see is the Jesus in us, because we are his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet. And, you know, are they going to want what you have? You know, are you representing Jesus each and every day that you live? You know, are you driving safely on the road? You know, are you praying every day? You know, are you studying the word as the scriptures tell us, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed? I'm studying. You know, I don't know everything in the word of God. I stumble sometimes and think, oh, Lord, where are the prophets when you need them? You know, I was in church Sunday and they said, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, I believe. And I was having trouble finding the book of Jeremiah. One time I was on TV, and I've got one of the chapters in the Bible missing because the kids in Korea took the the part of my Bible away from me. I told them, I said, look, kids, the word says you're not to add nor take away, and you're taking away. But they were so fascinated with the English words, and, so I just let them take it. So, you know, I'm here to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, you know, the storms of life, the trials, you know, the people in Jamaica need prayer. They also need your support as well. And let's just have a cheerful heart. Each day when we wake up, let's become more and more like Jesus. Not like the world, grumpy and aggravated and impatient, you know, but put others first, you know. I just pray that the Lord would wake America up. The Lord would wake me up as well. Wake all of us up, that we could just draw closer and closer to him like never before. And that's my desire for each and every one of you that are listening, that we don't become religious. You know, there's enough of that going on, that we just are the people that God's called us to be. You know, get the word from the head to the heart. And when it gets into the heart, it's going to stir you up. It's going to motivate you. You should have a desire to the gifts that he's placed in you, to wake those gifts up if the gifts in you have gone dormant. And also, if you're walking in fear right now because of the economy or because of the government shutdown, you know, let us stay focused on him, not focused on the circumstances. And I know it's easy. You know, it's real. I don't want you to think that I'm being insensitive here, because there are a lot of people hurting right now. You have 42 million people that rely on food stamps, and some of those people are deserving of it. Some of them aren't. But let us keep those people in prayer, because it's a crisis. you know, our food banks are running short on food. And just let us learn to reach out more like Jesus would do, you know, and not just be, as the scriptures tell us, not just be what a hearer of the word, but become a doer, you know, become a doer. And let the gifts that he's placed in you become, you come alive again, you know, come alive for Jesus. Let those gifts in you come alive. And whatever gifts those are, you know, ask Jesus. You know, you don't know what your gifts are, your talents. The Lord will reveal it to you. And the word also, the scriptures tell us that you won't make a way, but the gift in you will make a way. Don't try to force doors down and, you know, look at me and here I am. And your gift in you will make a way in Jesus' name. And make sure that whatever you do, you don't have to shout about it and advertise it. You know, just do it in secret. But the gift that he's deposited and given you will make a way. And my message this morning is going to be about how to live in a wilderness. You know, I'm very experienced at being in a wilderness at times in my life. But before I go on with my message, which is found in Exodus in the Old Testament, I'm going to play a song, Fall Deep in Love with Him.
Sitting at your feet is where I wanna be. I'm home when I am here with you. Ruined by your grace and never by your gaze, I can't resist the tenderness of you. You're the lover of my soul.
sing it from here.
Yes, my heart beats for you. And that's my prayer, that each and every one of you, that your heart would be for him. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. This morning we're going to go to the book of Exodus. It's in the Old Testament. And I've got a nice message for you. And the Lord put this on my heart. And I'll get back to, minister on praying, but if you don't mind, if I could wait till next week to do that. This is something the Lord's put on my heart, because I really sense in my spirit, in my heart, that a lot of people have become bitter in our nation. You know, they're mad, and we're not getting along, and we all have all this stuff. You know, we're probably one of the most wealthiest countries on earth, and yet we can't get along. We desire more stuff and more things and more cars and bigger homes. And I'm not against things, by no means. The Lord wants you to have a nice home, and he wants you to have a nice car. But we're hungry for more things instead of, and that's what concerns me a little bit, you know, because has our love for the Lord gone cold? Because, you know, we want more things. And if I remember, the scriptures tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why are we wanting all the time? You know, we want more things, and we want a newer home, and we just got a new home. We want another home, and we want a bigger car and a fancier car. Not that things are wrong, but let's stay focused on Jesus. And because St. Paul said, contentment is great gain. And with all this stuff, it's allowed us as a nation they become bitter. And what happened to the children of Israel when they were in captivity and they were freed? And so if we look at Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 22, the bitter waters made sweet. So when Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, there's something significant about that. If you look, they went 3 days without water in the wilderness. And the Lord knows that our body can only go 3 days without water. The Lord knew that. And there's something significant about going without water for 3 days. If you look at that 3 days, that represents the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, means city of bitterness. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, I've tried to do as much research as I could in the scriptures, and I can't find what type of tree that was. It doesn't tell us. If any of you know, you can call in the radio station and let me know, but I sure haven't found it, what type of tree that God showed Moses to throw into the tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who who heals you. There's a lot in this. If you look a little closer, remember, they were 3 days without water, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. If you look closer, you have to do some research, but the distance from Egypt to Myra was 33 miles, and that's significant of the life of Christ. If you look a little closer, remember, God showed Moses a tree, and he threw it into the water. The scriptures, my notes doesn't even tell me what type of tree it was, but he threw that tree into the water. And what did it do to the water? And the waters, by the way, were very salty. That's why they couldn't drink it. They spit it out. So here you have 3-day journey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have 33 miles from Egypt to and going through the Red Sea, and 33 miles, which 33 represents the life of Christ here on earth. The tree that was thrown into the water, if you look at that, that was the cross. So the tree that was thrown into the water was the cross. It sweetened the water, and they then could drink the water. And you know what? I feel in my heart that we as a nation, we've become bitter, you know, grumpy and complaining and arguing with one another. And we've gotten bitter. And so I'm asking you to take the tree that was thrown into the water was the cross, and it sweetened the water, and the people began to drink. And I'm asking you, if you become bitter, if you're getting too political, or if you're arguing with people, if you're whatever, you're mad because you took a pay cut, or you're upset about this, you're not staying focused on Jesus. You know, all of us, me included, my eyes get off Jesus, and I look at circumstances and people complaining, and I thought, Lord, help me get focused again. Because the scriptures tell us, perfect peace who says, whose mind is stayed on who? Him. Not circumstances. No, you know, it's perfect peace who says, whose mind is stayed on Jesus. So that tree that was thrown into the water represents the cross that Jesus died on. He died that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Do you know him? And I think I really feel in my heart that if you know him, you know, let's get closer to him. Let's fall deeper in love with him. And, you know, let's be that light into the dark places that he's called us to be. Let the revival begin with me. Let's go in and be that great blessing that he's called us to be. You know, I pray that you listening today, you won't be the same. You know, if you just get your cross, if you have a cross at the house, you know, or in the car, just take it and hold on and say, Lord, I've become bitter, and I embrace you. And you can take what's bitter in my life, and you can make it sweet. This is pretty powerful, thanks to God. This is powerful, that when you embrace Jesus and the cross, he can take what's bitter in your life and he can make it sweet, but you have to let him. You must let him. You know, we've got some stinking thinking going on, and we're arguing, and we're grumpy, and Lord, help me with that sometimes. You know, the world gets to me at times. What do I have to do? You know, I heard James Kennedy, Dr. James Kennedy, sharing this morning that sometimes you have to shake things off. And let the cares of today just, Lord, you know, what happened, the voices that you've heard and the things that went on and the noise and the car, the traffic and the people yelling and whatever is going on, and find your quiet place, you know, get up in the morning and spend some time with Jesus. You know, when you come home from work, maybe just bow your head. And that's what I'm trying to do, because when I come in, it's my days can be quite exhausting, and I'm sure yours are too. But we need to stay focused. You know, as a nation, we're off course. And I'm not getting political here, but we're off course. We are definitely off course. Lord, help us come back to you. Help us to embrace you. And you can take what's bitter in our life, and you can make it sweet again. And I sense some of you have become bitter. You've become bitter. You're probably mad at the pastor. You know, you're probably mad at an elder. You're probably mad at your neighbor. Let that go. You know, Jesus, the Word of God tells us that we're to forgive 70 times 7. That's 490 times. That's an infinite amount of times. You're going to remember how many times you've forgiven that. So just forgive them and move on. Because I believe if you don't forgive people, you know what? I believe that when you're bitter and you're mad and you're holding grudges and you don't forgive, that's a form, to me, spiritually, that's like cancer to the body. And it just eats away and eats away and eats away. And then we become grumpy. You know, Lord, help me with this. I'm speaking to myself on this one. You know, we can become grumpy. You know, no one wants to be around a grumpy person. Ask my wife sometimes. She says, "You're just a little grumpy." You know, Lord, I need to get back to you. My eyes need to be focused on you. So, you know, this is pretty powerful. The bitter waters made sweet because they were grumpy. They started complaining. If you read the scriptures, I believe God the Lord at some point told Moses, your people are stiff neck. You know, they become stiff neck. You know, they were arguing. Here God took them through the Red Sea, freedom from Egypt, through the Red Sea, and on and on and on how he provided for them. And they stayed in the wilderness for so many years, was, I believe, a 5-6 day journey. I can't remember. They were stuck around the mountain and around the mountain and around the mountain year after year after year after year. That's not God's will. You know, the wilderness is God makes the wilderness as much as he makes a garden. Let me read something to you. The wilderness is an unpleasant place, fleshly speaking. We naturally want prosperity, health, and easy going. But the same God who created the garden also created the wilderness. There will be times of trials and pressure. Our faith will be tested, but God of grace will meet us even in the wilderness. Missionary Ann Carmichael knew this truth. Bare heights of loneliness, a wilderness whose burning winds sweep over the glowing sand. What are they to him? Even there he came, he'll refresh us. Even there, he came to renew us. You know, we need to let him refresh us. You know, we need him to renew us each and every day. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are to pick our cross up daily. Have some of you forgotten it? You know, have some of you forgotten it? He didn't say pick up your credit card daily. He said pick up the cross daily. You know, I'm not being critical or cynical here, but, you know, we need to follow him, fall deeper in love with him, draw closer to him than ever before. The wildernesses, they will come. The storms will come. And Jesus is there with you. The scriptures tell us that he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end." Remember that tree that Moses threw into the water was the cross. And that cross sweetened that water, and they could begin to drink the bitter, salty waters of Marah. And I feel that some of you are bitter, and you need to take what's bitter, embrace the cross, embrace Jesus, and allow him to take what's bitter in your life, and he can make it sweet. If you're mad at a family member or neighbor, forget all that stuff. Let it go. You know, it'll eat you alive. You know, it will. I believe walking in bitterness, that's why the children of Israel struggled for so many years. I believe it was six or 7 day journey. And they made it year after year after year after year after year. And man, they kept going around the mountain. Some of you are going around the mountain. We just need to hear God's voice. Be still and know I'm God. Learn to forgive and embrace Jesus and let him take what's bitter in your life. And he can make it sweet. But you have to let him. You have to let him. And I believe that you don't get promoted because promotion is of God. You know, if you stay bitter and bitter, who's going to want to be around you? You know, and how can the boss promote you if you're always grumbling and complaining? You know, even Jesus, you know, sometimes he won't open those doors for you. He said, "Yeah, I set before thee an open door which no man could close." Jesus is the one that opens doors. Sometimes we have to force the door open And it's our flesh trying to force a door open that Jesus doesn't want open. He'll open those doors in the appropriate time. But that's why we go through wildernesses and the good times and the bad, because, you know, it humbles us. And I've been there. I've been through a few wildernesses in my life, growing up as an orphan with no parents and just my sister and I. And then another one when I was in a bad auto accident. And, you know, these things will happen. And I'm not trying to preach a negative message here today. I'm just trying to tell you that when they do come, stay focused. Don't get bitter, but get better. That's my message for you. Don't get bitter, but get better. If things aren't going your way, then just, hey, embrace Jesus. Draw near to him, as his word says, I'll draw near to you. That's the assurance that you and I have, that that he is a good God. He's a great God. He's the great I am. And I just want to encourage you, because some of you are hurting. And the pain is real. The pain, it's real, because life is real. And the assurance that we have is that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Danny, if you're in the building, if you could just come in a minute and let me play another song. And I just want you to know that he is the great I am, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the great I am. So if you're struggling, I just want you to know that Jesus is with you. He's with you. He doesn't allow anything. He tests us, but he doesn't give us any more than we can't handle. Sometimes there are days that we just think, wow, I can't handle any more. I just can't handle any more. But the Lord knows that. He knows that. He knows what you're going through. And just trust in him. Draw near to him, as the word says, and he will draw near to you. And that's the assurance that we have, that he will draw near to us. So, you know, if you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you, because I know there's some of you that are listening that are having a difficult time. You're having a difficult time. And the world's not been fair. The world will never be fair. Someone disappointed you, maybe. Someone's hurt your feelings. Someone's offended you. Let go of that. Let go of that. Father, I pray that those that are listening that have been hurt, by friends, family members, neighbors, Father God, that you would touch them, Father God. You would touch them, Father God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father God, that they would learn, and me too, to learn to forgive, as your word tells us, 70 times 7, which is 490 times. And Father, that we would learn to forgive as we walk this journey each and every day, that you would help us. And Father God, that people are suffering, Father God. They're not getting their food stamps, but Father God, you said you make a way. You make a way where there is no way. Father, I pray that those that are listening that are hurting, Father God, that you meet their needs and you show up, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for providing. Because your word reminds us, Father, the scriptures tell us that I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Father, that you would meet each and every need that they have. And Father God, that they would know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father God, that there's someone listening that they've got a bad report, Father God, and I feel in my spirit that, Father, that you would help them, that you would walk them through this. Father, that you said if we call upon you, you would show us great and mighty things that we know us not of. Father God, we pray for Jamaica, Father God, that that you would continue to help the people there in Jamaica. Thank you for the supplies of Samaritan Purse coming to the rescue, and many other ministries that are involved, that you would continually put the people there back on their feet and make their houses better, Father God, than what they were before. And Father God, that the other islands that were affected, Cuba, Father, that you would help all the people that have been affected, Father God, and that you would be with each one, meet all their needs, Father God, as only you can do. Father God, that I'm reminded of Abraham was in a famine, and he was on his way to Egypt. And Father, Egypt represents the world. And you spoke to Isaac, and you told him, you spoke to Isaac, Father God, and you told him to stay in the land and that you would provide. Father, I pray we'd stay in the land and learn to be content, learn to get along with one another, and learn to be a greater blessing to one another. And Father God, that we wouldn't have a critical spirit, Father God, that if anyone's listening that has a critical spirit, Father God, I just pray that you would touch them, Father God, and get rid of that critical spirit, judgmental spirit, Father God, and anything else that they have, Father God, that you would help us all with that critical spirit, gossiping spirit, Father God, that's not part of the Christian life. That you would teach us how to walk in love, in your mercy, in your grace. Someone's listening, Father, and they don't know you, Father God. I pray today that your word tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Jesus should not perish, but all have everlasting life. That, Father God, I pray that they would repent of their sins, turn from their wicked ways, and come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, there's many listening that are hurting. And Father, I pray that as the government has shut down, you don't shut down. And I'm grateful for that, Father God. I'm grateful that you don't ever shut down. That your word, scriptures tell us that I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Lo, I'm with you always, the scriptures tells us. Let them sense your presence, Father God. And let them sense your provision. Jamaica, all over the world where there's been earthquakes, Father God, the plane crash in Louisville, Kentucky, Father, the families that have lost loved ones through that horrific plane crash that was on its way to Hawaii. Father, there's so many needs out there. And thank you for teaching us, Father, that the battle's not ours, that the battle belongs to you. We also pray for Israel, Father God, the apple of your eye. We pray that you would be with Israel, protect them, Father God, and we pray for your peace there. And I pray for Congress, senators, Father God, that you would help them work on this, not shutting the government down, but they would cooperate and be in unity, Father God. And Father God, help us. Help us find our way back to you. We need a revival. And wake us up. Wake me up, Father God. Wake the listeners that are listening up, Father God. Wake our churches up, Father God, that it's not building another building, buying another jet plane. You know, Father God, it's building people. That's what you died on the cross for, is your people. And people, Father God, are important to you. And I thank you, Father God, that you're with your people. And Father, that as your word reminds us that this is the day that you've made, let us rejoice and be glad. Father God, I pray that America would learn to wake up. Cast our cares, your word tells us, upon you, as you said you careth for thee. I pray you would shake us, stir us up, Father God. Teach us what really prosperity is, Father God. What is prosperity? Prosperity is just really intimately knowing you, Father God, is our Lord and Savior. Is our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father God, that as a nation, we would repent and turn from our wicked ways and come to know you is our Lord and Savior. Father God, I pray your blessings upon the White House, the Capitol, the congressmen, the senators, that they would work together in harmony. Father, I pray that you would help them. I pray that they would sense your presence there as they talk, as they speak. And Father God, let us not attack character, a person's character, Father God. Let us work in harmony with one another. That's my prayer for Congress, the Senate, the congressmen, Father God, that you just be with each and every one of them. We pray for our president, Father God, give him wisdom and what to do. And Father, I just thank you, Father, that even Haiti needs help. And I pray that you would help the people in Haiti, Father God, and minister to those gang members there that are running that country. I pray that there will be a government that would rise up and the people would be once again free. And I pray you would bless them, Father God. My orphans down there, Father God, and Bobby and Sherry Brunette, Father God, that you thank you for your provision, meeting all of their needs. And the orphan kids, all the widows there. There's a lot of widows in Haiti. They've lost their husbands in the earthquake that years ago. I thank you for providing for each and every one of those people. Father, thank you for just for this day, for your people listening, for just let us have a teachable spirit. And give me a teachable spirit too, Father God. Give all of us a teachable spirit. Wake the churches up, Father God, that we can hear more of you and less of us. We can hear your heartbeat, which beats people. We have us not get caught up, Father God, in stuff and things, Father, but have us get caught up in you. Prosperity, all I know what prosperity is, Father God, is just you. You know, it's not stuff. It's not things. That's not a sign of your blessings. It's one of the signs, but the main thing is you. Let us stay focused on you. As your word reminds us all, Father God, perfect peace is his, whose mind is stayed on you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Well, I just pray the message touched your heart this morning. It's from my heart, what the Lord showed me about the tree. Actually, I feel that it was the cross. And when the wood, which represented the cross, was thrown into the waters of Myra, could take the waters that were bitter, and Jesus could make it sweet again. So if you become bitter, just embrace Jesus and allow him to take what's bitter and make it sweet. And he'll do that if you let him. And so I hope you enjoyed the message. I know there are a lot of people hurting, but remember, the scriptures tell us that draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. So whatever you need, you just go to Jesus. And I pray the church now would rise up, and this would be the church's greatest hour, not the government's greatest hour. This would be the church's greatest hour to stand up and to reach out, to speak up, to speak out, to be that great blessing that Jesus called us to be. Because remember, we're his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth. You know, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, if Jesus tells you to help someone and you don't do it, how many other people will Jesus have to, the Lord will have to touch their hearts to help? You know, like Jonah, when Jonah was going to Nineveh, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He ran the other way. And I'm sometimes good at that. I'm sometimes, when the Lord gives me an assignment or tells me to do something, you'll find me at times running the other way. And I'm being honest up front with y'all. My name actually should not be Tom. It should be called Jonah Jr. Because a lot of times I get assignments. And really, I'm just sharing my heart with you that the Lord actually gives me an assignment, and I find myself running the other way. I don't want to do it. And if you're like that, you know, stop running. Stop running. Run into the arms of Jesus and just let him have his way with you, you know? Let him have his way, you know? I'm praying for a revival in America. That's my heart's desire. I prayed that at church last Saturday, that we would have a revival that we've never seen before, that Jesus would stir us, stir the church, stir our nation, and that we would welcome Jesus back. You know, are we doing it our way? I think, what was it? Have it your way? Let's have it Jesus's way. Let's have it Jesus's way. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? You know, if you see something that the Lord's, you know, putting on your heart to do, you know, just do it. You'll be rewarded for that. He'll reward you for that. If you see someone needing help, you know, open your heart. open your heart. If you see someone that needs a word of encouragement, Hebrews 3:13 tells us that we are to encourage one another daily. What did Deus say? It didn't say encourage one another yearly or monthly. Hebrews 3:13 says encourage one another daily. What a day is still called today. It's so, so very important that we encourage one another. It's really important because the days are getting darker, y'all. You know, they're getting darker. And what's going on sometimes in America, I just can't believe it. I'm in disbelief. I think we've lost our minds. I really have. Lord, come back. Help us. You know, help us find our way back to you. That's what we need. We need to find our way back to Christ. You know, we need to find our way back to him. Lord, help those that are hurting. And if you're hurting today, you just lay it at Jesus' feet. Whatever you need, he can touch your body. He can touch your finances. Whatever you need. You know, if your husband left or your wife left, let him touch your wife or your husband. And he can do that. You know, he's a great God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word, the scriptures tell us, is there anything too difficult for thee? You know what? Yep, there's not. There's not one thing too difficult for him. Not one thing. You can just call on him. Well, next week I'll give you an opportunity to call in. I think my time's just about running out here. And I want to pray for some folks, and because there's a lot of people hurting today, and the hurt is real. Sometimes you can feel other people's pain. You know, if you don't go through these storms, if you don't go through these wilderness experiences, how are you gonna feel someone else's pain if you don't go through it? You know, how are you gonna feel that person's pain? You know, if you haven't gone through it, sometimes I feel in my heart that's why we go through these wilderness experiences, because if we don't, we can become haughty, by the way, and we can become arrogant. And Jesus doesn't want us to be arrogant and haughty. You know, he doesn't. And he wants us to have more of him and less of us. And I tell you, what a great God we serve. God's not dead. He is alive. That's one of the songs we used to sing in my church in Louisville, Kentucky. That God's not dead. He is alive. And he truly is alive. Some of you, I remember Moses was in battle. If we look at the scriptures, and Moses' hands came down. And when they came down, he was losing the battle. And I believe Aaron and Hur, they were holding his arms up. And when they were holding his arms up, he was winning the battle. And some of you out there, your hands are down. Some of you don't want church anymore. You know, somebody offended you at church, or someone said something to you. You know, remember, the church isn't perfect. For that one person that hurt you, Pastor Malcolm Wilde one time said, for that one person that hurt you in church, there's hundreds more to love on you. So don't just leave the church because someone hurt you, someone offended you. Don't caught up in titles, you know, just... You know, at the church, you know, I let the Lord open doors for you. If you want a promotion, you know, just work as you're working, as the scriptures tell us, work as you work unto the Lord, and the Lord will promote you. He'll touch man's heart to promote you. And as the scriptures tell us, that God will make a way. You won't make a way, but the gift in you will make a way. So, you know, remember that our nation needs much prayer. It needs a lot of prayer. Our churches need prayer. Our churches, they really need a lot of prayer. These pastors really have it rough today. You know, there's a lot of pressure on pastors today. And we just, we bless our pastors in Brevard County and our nation. Because it's tough. It's tough being a pastor. People pull on you. And, but, you know, we pray that the Lord will strengthen each of our pastors and give them supernatural strength. And the people in church, that they would become teachable. You know, we don't know. I don't know everything. One thing I try to have is a teachable spirit, and that's one thing I want you to have is a teachable spirit, is to learn that, you know, you don't know everything. I don't know everything. Even at my job, I still don't know everything on my job. I'm still learning. God's Word, I'm studying His Word. It's new every morning, you know. I'm studying the Bible, and I thought, oh, Lord, I didn't know that, you know. And remember, the Word says the study to show yourself approved. The Lord tells us, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. So if you're hurting, turn to Him. Turn to Him. And another thing, at our church, we're having a revival night, and it's Saturday, November 15th. You can mark it on your calendar. They're having a dinner from 4 to 6. It's at Calvary Chapel in Merritt Island, 3500 North Kartney Parkway. Come be a part of it. It's Saturday, November 15th. The doors open. They're going to serve food from 4 to 6. And then the revival will start. They're having a singer, Ryan Rees, I believe. And for the praise and worship, I've already invited one fellow at work, and he's going to come. And those of you listening, mark it on your calendar. If you've been dry and you've been stale and you need to renew your first love of Jesus, come to that revival. It'll do you some good. A lot of times we just need to be stirred up. I need to be stirred up. We all need to be stirred up. So come to that revival on Saturday, November 15th at the Calvary Chapel, 3500 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. Do you some good. You know, do you some good to be around a lot of saints of God that are on fire for Jesus. I remember one time when I was in Haiti. I'll never forget this. The little orphans, we were at church service, and I was holding Peanut. Peanut was a little premature baby, and he was maturing, and loved the little fella, and I miss him. And I was holding him and patting him on the back, and I noticed the orphan kids turned to me, and they said, "You need the fire of God." And I didn't quite understand what they were saying. I said, "I'm not sure what you're saying. I need the fire of God. What are you all talking about?" You know, I think we need to wake up. We need, as a church, as a nation, we need to wake up and let the Lord set us on fire. As St. Paul said, that we must decrease that Jesus could increase. And I tell you, He changes everything. You want a new step, a new song in your mouth, a new dance in your step, fall deeper in love with Jesus. I tell you, you'll never be the same. You will never, never be the same. So I'm encouraging you to draw near to the Lord. Hold your prayer request. If you want to write me, you can. I'll give you my P.O. box number. You can write me at Tom Jones. And my P.O. box is P.O. box 412168, Melbourne, Florida 32941. Again, that number is P.O. box 412168, Melbourne, Florida 32941. If you have a prayer request, please send that in. I'll pray for you, and I don't say that lightly. I take that very seriously. If you need a prayer request, send it in, and I'd love to hear from you. Next week, I'll give you an opportunity to call in, share your heart, share your testimony, what God's doing for you. And don't forget to come to the revival at our church at Calvary Chapel, 3500 North Courtney Parkway, November 15th from 4 to 6. I think you'll really enjoy it. I think a lot of us need to be stirred up. I know one thing, our nation needs to be stirred up. You know, our congressmen need to be stirred up. The senators need to be stirred up. Our pastors need to be stirred up. We need revival, folks. We need a big-time revival in our country. We need to invite Jesus back. I think we've thrown them out of the schools. We've thrown them out of the universities. We've thrown them out of, Lord, help us to bring you back into our schools, bring you back into the courthouses, bring you back into Congress and Senate, bring you back into the White House. Just come back and set us on fire for you, Father God, that we would never, never be the same again. May you touch us. May you touch the listeners, Father God. May you touch them, Father God, from the top of their head to the very soles of their feet. Father God, just set us all ablaze. Let us decrease, as Paul said, that, you know, Father God, that we decrease, that you increase. I want more of you and less of me, Father God. I want more of you and less of me. So, Father God, the listeners that are listening, just set us all on fire, Father God, that we can become more like you. That when we see something, Father God, we would respond like you would respond. That we would help the homeless, Father God. We would help our neighbor. We would encourage our pastors. We would encourage the saints of God. We would encourage our neighbor, Father God. We would just be called encouragers, Father God, and not forget what Hebrews 3:13 says. To encourage one another daily, what a day is still called today. Father God, I just pray we would just encourage one another daily. It's not something yearly, saints of God. It's daily. Let us work on that. I'm working on that. I am. I'm working on encouraging people and looking at them and saying, Lord, how can I encourage them? What do they need? How can I be a blessing? That's what I want you to do. I want the Lord to stir you up, shake you, wake you up, open your eyes up, open your ears, open your mouth, that you could stand up, speak up, and live this abundant life that Jesus said, 1 John, I believe, it said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Wow. Whew. Imagine that. Are you living that abundant life today? Are you living it abundantly? I sure hope you are. That's my prayer, that you're living this abundant life. No, it's not going to be easy. We talked about the wilderness today. No, it's not going to be easy. But he's there with you, and he'll help you through those storms. Remember, the word says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be grumbling daily. Be rejoicing daily. And I know it's hard to do. I know it's very difficult to do sometimes. The world gets to us. People get to us. And learn to shake it off. Again, spend more time with Jesus. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in the Word. Grow in Jesus. And first and foremost, you know, be teachable. Have a teachable heart, teachable spirit. You know? And I tell you, you'll really, the Lord will really use you in a mighty way. He's looking for people to use today. And I pray for that revival. I pray for a revival will sweep across our land from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Well, to next week, may God richly bless you. And don't remember, stay awake. God bless you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.